When I was a teenager, I was living with my mom and my little sister. She had me when she was really young, and my dad didn't stick around after that, so it was just us, which made me want to find a way to show how much we cared, as Mother's Day was coming up. The only problem was, I didn't have any money, so I couldn't exactly take her out for a nice lunch or anything like that. All I could think to do was spend the day at a spot where the three of us could have fun together. It was the San Joaquin River, which is close to where we live in Central California. I learned there was a popular swimming area that only the locals really knew about. So, a few days before Mother's Day, we piled into the car and drove out to the river, planning on having a nice family day of swimming and sunbathing. When we got there, I was expecting to see a lot of other people, but it was actually pretty empty. I thought it was weird since it was so close to a holiday, but we had a large area of the river to ourselves, so it turned out to be a good thing. We all got changed. Then my mom set up a chair to lounge on the riverbank while my sister and I got in to swim. We were having a blast, splashing each other, racing, seeing who could hold their breath underwater the longest, stuff like that. Eventually, I needed a break, so I started swimming back to the shore. My sister didn't come with me though. She somehow still had energy to keep going while I was exhausted. While I was climbing the rocks, getting up to shore, I could see my mom sunbathing and basically passed out on her lawn chair. It seemed like she was relaxed and asleep. When I finally climbed up to the shore, I went to dry myself off with a towel. I was there for a few minutes when I heard something unusual. It took me a second to realize that I was hearing my little sister screaming for help. I stood up and saw her in the middle of the river, way farther downstream than earlier. The river had suddenly swelled up, and the current was racing now. She wasn't strong enough to fight it. I knew I should have gotten off that rock immediately and gone to help her, but I just froze. I saw my mother sprint by in a blur, but I didn't follow her. I just watched and did nothing. My mother caught up to my sister on the riverbank, then jumped into the water after her. She swam so fast and was at my sister within seconds, holding on to her and trying to keep her head above the water. She was able to, but I could tell she was struggling as my sister was panicking, and I was still 100 feet away when I saw them slowly heading toward the shore. I finally kicked myself into action. I ran as fast as I could to reach them, but they were nearly at the shore when I caught up, so I jumped into the shallow edge, holding my hands out to help them out of the river. They reached me in a few seconds, and my mother pushed my sister up out of the water.
Take her!
I got her!
You're okay now.
I grabbed her and carried her over to the land. But when I turned back, my mother wasn't behind me.
Help! Help! Help me!
The current had quickened again in a flash and dragged her out of the shallows and back into the river. I jumped in after her, swimming as fast as I could. But no matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't catch up. The river was thrashing me around, and I knew my mother had to already be exhausted. The current had also picked up a ton of dirt, making it impossible to see through the water. So before I knew it, I couldn't even find her. Then, I realized I was in danger. I kept getting dragged under as I was trying to catch my breath, and ended up swallowing water, almost inhaling it all into my lungs. My instincts took over, and I started swimming to shore instead of towards my mother. I was barely able to get out, but I managed to get to safety. Collapsing in the dirt, I dragged myself up and went back to my sister. We caught our breath and looked out over the water, but there was no sign of our mother. When we weren't grasping for air anymore, we were sobbing. Help came soon after, but by then, she was long gone. It started pouring rain as they started the search party, making it even more difficult to find her. They had to call off the search that night. It took until the afternoon of the next day until she was found, but it was far too late. Since then, nothing has ever been the same for me and my sister. We're living with our relatives now, but we can never sleep like we used to. I wish I'd never even mentioned that river. It should have been me who jumped into the water to save my sister. This story was inspired by a horrific Mother's Day incident. On May 9th, a mother named Brenda Duran jumped into the San Joaquin River in Central California to rescue her drowning daughter. The mom watched her children playing in the water of a popular beach, but when her daughter could not keep her head above water, Duran rushed into the river trying to save her, but struggled to stay afloat due to the river's current swallowing the mom. Her son then saw his mom in trouble and jumped back into the river to try to grab her, but he unfortunately could not get to her in time. First responders, including rescue dive teams, spent hours in the water, but visibility and safety concerns forced the search to be paused around 11 p.m., police said. Duran's remains were recovered around 5:30 p.m. on May 11th. The river the incident took place in is known for its teeming wildlife, economy-fueled tourism that includes paddling, swimming, and fishing, and hydroelectric power. Duran was just 30 years old.
After I divorced my first wife, I met my current wife, Hope, in my 30s. We both already had children, so I knew she would be an excellent mother to my kids. I ended up adopting all her children as well, and then we even had our own son together. That all started when we were both still very young. But now, 4 decades have passed, all our kids have moved away, and as we've gotten older, I've been burdened with declining health. I'm always sick and can't move around for shit. However, in what was clearly the final years of my life, Hope has taken it upon herself to make me even more miserable. She started distancing herself from me, basically ignoring me, like I didn't exist. During minor holidays like Mother's Day, she would leave the house and disappear for hours. She admittedly said that she was having an affair, and that she would rather have me out of her life. The feeling was mutual, except I couldn't bring myself to divorce her after being with her for so long. So, I ended up complacent and let her do whatever she wanted. But recently, something has been horribly disturbing. I can tell Hope didn't want me alive. When I did simple things like sit around, watch TV, or eat, she would stare daggers at me from the corner. In fact, without any prompt or context whatsoever, she would say weird, disturbing shit like, "I wish for Mother's Day you would go away forever." She would then give me this evil smile, like she was already making the preparations. For a while, I've been sleeping on the couch in the living room. I never get any privacy, and I'm often afraid to fall asleep as I'll catch Hope staring at me in the darkness like an evil witch.
"Go away! I'm trying to sleep! Get out of here!"
I have sleeping pills, but I'm trying to avoid taking them because of her. I'm scared of not being alert to fend for myself, just in case she tried to pull something. When Mother's Day finally came, I expected Hope to be in a sour mood since I was still alive. But strangely, it was quite the opposite. She had this giddy energy about her all day. It was weird as hell. I just went about my day like usual, until it was finally time to get back on the couch and try to fall asleep. I didn't know I was in for the most terrifying night of my life.
"Oh God, she's watching me sleep again. She's so creepy. What the hell is the matter with her? If I pretend to be asleep, maybe she'll go away. No, no, don't come near me, you freak. Leave me alone. Come on, just go away. What do you want? Oh, sweetie, it looks like you're having trouble sleeping again. Sit up for me so you can take your meds."
"I already took it. I'm fine."
"Bison, get up!" "Okay, fine. And here comes the airplane. Coming in for a landing." "Here you are, my dear. That's it. Drink, drink, drink up. What are you doing? Just take the glass already. I'm tired."
Whoa, what's happening?
It was the night after Mother's Day. My mom called me, crying hysterically. She told me through her tears that my father had passed. I didn't know what to do, so I just went over to their house, finding it swarmed by police. I didn't understand why at first. All I wanted to do in that moment was comfort my mother, grieve with my family, and bury my father. Afterwards, I wanted to spend more time with my mom, and that's when I noticed her strange behavior. I asked her how it happened, but she just looked right through me and said she couldn't tell me. Something about it was just really off-putting. Weeks later, enough people started saying the same thing, that my mother was all but admitting to taking out her husband. Not a person who knew her hadn't had some weird encounter. With her basically admitting and saying what she did subliminally. Unfortunately, I had to agree with everyone. I had to send my own mother to prison.
For this Mother's Day, we had to feature one of the scariest mums to walk the face of the earth. The mum we are talking about is a 71-year-old woman named Hope Schreiner. Hope was married to her husband Robert for over 43 years. After making it past the 7-year itch, surviving the empty nest syndrome, and settling into retirement, it seemed as if the couple had a long-lasting, successful relationship. But their picture book story ended the day Hope snapped and bludgeoned Robert to his demise. Robert, who was hampered by mobility issues from a near-fatal car accident, battled numerous health problems in his 70s. He lost a lung to cancer and suffered chronic pneumonia and glaucoma. And it was during this period Hope and Robert's relationship went downhill. Hope began an affair with another man named Donald Bouret, 77. Hope dreamed of starting a new life with Bouret, but he would ultimately turn her down. On the afternoon of the 2nd of June 2004, when Hope called 911 to say she'd found her husband bleeding in their driveway, emergency responders arrived and declared Robert was a goner at the scene. The medical examiner determined blunt force trauma was the cause of his passing. It was also discovered that Robert had ingested a large dose of sleeping aid. In the days after her husband's passing, Hope began saying disturbing things to her family and friends. One friend expressed fear about the case being unsolved and that a killer was running around their rural community, but Hope whispered to her saying, "Don't worry, I did it." When Hope's daughter asked how her adopted father passed, Hope said, "I can't tell you." Hope also told a neighbor, "I just snapped. I put sleeping pills in his coffee." Another friend that volunteered with Hope at the library told investigators that Hope told her, "I wanted to get rid of my husband." Police later found evidence connecting to Robert's passing in Hope's basement. The day after Robert's funeral service, detectives arrested Hope and charged her accordingly. Hope was eventually sentenced to 17 years to life in prison, becoming Vermont's oldest female inmate.
This happened a few years ago on Mother's Day, and it still haunts me till this day. I used to live with my mom, who was a hard-working woman. She used to cook, clean, and take care of me and my siblings while working a part-time job. When I eventually got older and had a wife and kids of my own, I moved out in a small bungalow house. I didn't want to leave her to fend for herself, so I ended up taking her in. My wife was a bit hesitant at first, but eventually gave in to the idea since the kids really liked her company. So, when it was eventually Mother's Day, I of course wanted to celebrate not only my wife, but my mother as well. We invited our cousins, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, basically the entire family. It was a perfect day, honestly. The kids were outside playing in the front lawn while myself and the other relatives did grown-up stuff. It was around the evening time when I got up to grab another beer from the fridge. That's when I noticed an unfamiliar car parked on the street in front of my house. It was a dark sedan with tinted windows, just sitting there idling. I then went out to the porch and saw the kids playing on the lawn and my mom at the edge of the yard, facing the car. I remember hearing her saying something like,
"What do you want? Get the hell out of here!"
The car didn't move. It just parked there. She then shouted again, saying,
"If you don't get out of here, I'm calling the cops! You got that?"
My mother was a very confrontational person, and didn't take shit from anyone, and would call out anyone on anything if she thought they were in the wrong. That's just how she was. But something about yelling at a random vehicle was alarming as hell. I didn't want her causing any unnecessary drama and printing a target on our house. So I called out to her saying,
"Mom, just ignore them and come inside."
She ignored me and continued mean mugging the vehicle. I figured it had to either be some Karen neighbors down the street that were trying to file a noise complaint, or just a group of teen troublemakers looking to get a kick out of bothering an elderly lady. I tried to make out who was inside the car, but it was hard to see as the windows were tinted and it was getting a bit late. I called out to my mom once more to get inside, and that the other adults were waiting on her. Once again, she ignored me and continued to have a stare down with the vehicle. I was getting nervous as hell, and got a bit closer so I could see the plate number, just in case whoever was in the car tried to pull something. As I squinted my eyes to look at the front plates, I realized that it was either removed or being covered. That's when I knew something was horribly wrong. A million red flags raced through my mind. I started freaking out and yelled at my mom and the kids to immediately get back in the house. The kids immediately started scrambling inside while my mom stood in the same spot, yelling at the car and telling them she was going to call the cops. I then started walking towards her just so I could pull her back into the house and away from the vehicle. That's when the car suddenly rolled down their windows, revealing two or three men wearing ski masks. The one closest to the window then pulled out a firearm and started waving it around.
"Happy Mother's Day, you old fart! Today's gonna be your lucky day!"
He then smiled at me and my mom. And that's when I yelled saying,
"Mom, get inside!"
As I started running back towards the house, and as I made it to the porch, all I could hear was a loud bang sound. All I could remember was ducking for cover, as my relatives inside the house started screaming in despair and confusion, not knowing what the hell was going on. The car then immediately drifted off. I then got up and slowly turned my back to see where my mom was. And there she was, laying lifelessly on the lawn. She was still, eerily still. I then ran to her screaming,
"Mom! Mom! Mom!"
over and over again, but there was no response. I took off my shirt and used it to cover her wound as my relatives called the cops. An ambulance with a few cruisers showed up, taking her to the hospital, but it was too late. She was gone. The police went searching for the suspects, but unfortunately, they were unable to be found. There wasn't much evidence that my family and I could provide to the police. We had no camera footage, no license plate, nothing other than just some males wearing ski masks. After providing police with our testimonies, they concluded that the whole thing was just a senseless, motiveless crime. Just really some sickos in a car. The next few months after that tragic Mother's Day weekend was a blur. I couldn't sleep or eat. I was just numb. The house felt empty, and the kids were understandably quiet and scared. None of us wanted to step out of the house and deal with the fact that we might see those guys again. A few years after the incident, my family and I moved out, but we couldn't deal with the fact that those guys could still show up anytime, whether it was a birthday, holiday, or Mother's Day again, and possibly target us for no apparent reason. This story was inspired by a horrific incident regarding an Alabama grandmother who was celebrating Mother's Day with her family when someone opened fire on the outdoor party just after 7 p.m. on Sunday, May 12th. Gloria Cruz, 64, was fatally struck as she reportedly rushed children playing outside back into her house for safety. She collapsed on her lawn. Cruz unfortunately did not make it at the scene. Police are offering a $1,000 cash reward to anyone who may have seen something or know something, and to come forward with any information related to the suspect. Cruz's daughter has set up a GoFundMe to set up for funeral expenses. No arrests have since been made, according to police who say the case is still under investigation.